Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, this week on the broadcast, we'll continue our study of the unique city of Babylon. It was the only city in the then-known world 4,500 years ago, just after the flood of Noah's day. Where it was located then, it is still located today, on the shores of the Euphrates River. This city has a marvelous past and will have a significant future. To understand the future, you must know the history of Babylon and how it relates to the Jewish people. For example, 2,500 years ago, the Babylonian leader Nebuchadnezzar and his army, his mighty army, came into Jerusalem to destroy the city. They destroyed the temple, and then they took the Jews into Babylon. That was the third wave of the Babylonian army into Jerusalem, which was recorded in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. That's where we'll start our study for this week. Please take your Bible and let's go to 2 Chronicles 36.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Start here in verse 18 of 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and his princes, all of these were brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God, and they break down the walls of Jerusalem, and burned all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away into Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. And so it was that Nebuchadnezzar comes in. He takes all the vessels that were used, dedicated for the services at the temple, takes them back, puts them in his temple, burns down the city, burns down the temple, kills a third of the people, takes the other third into the captivity. 586 BC, that's the Babylonian captivity. Go with me across the page. You've got the book of 2 Chronicles 36 in your Bible. Look across the page. Look what happened. At the time the Babylonian Empire fell, Bible prophecy is going to be fulfilled. 150 years before the fall of the Babylonian Empire, Isaiah in chapters 44 and 45 wrote about the Babylonian Empire coming to its end and that there would be a leader who would come to power and his name would be Cyrus. Hello? Look what it says here in verse 2. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And so it is that God is going to fulfill the prophecy by Isaiah that I'm going to raise a man up named Cyrus. He will allow the Jews to go back into the land, and they will be able to build their temple. Chapter 2 is the record of about 50,000 Jews, to be exact, 49,897. Jews will be led by Zerubbabel and Joshua, and they will go into the city of Jerusalem and build their temple. That's not when they are going to be there building the walls of the city. Nehemiah is going to do that later, a number of years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire. This is, they go back. It takes them about 25 years. So the Babylonian Empire falls in 539, about 515 BC, they build the temple. Go to chapter 6. In chapter 6 of the book of Ezra, they have a dedicatory service. Chapter 6. Now, this is about 25 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire. But it's going to be about another 50 years, and they're going to raise up a man named Ezra, a scribe, to go back and reinstitute the temple practices. Go to chapter 7. Chapter 7 of the book of Ezra. All I'm doing is reading the Word of God. I'm showing you what happened. Babylon the empire fell. Babylon the city did not fall. Ezra chapter 7 verse 6. Thus Ezra went up from Babylon. 75 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire, Babylon was well and operating. Verse 9. And upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. Ezra will go to Jerusalem from Babylon. Babylon's alive and well, 75 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire. Hey, did you ever read about Alexander the Great? Alexander the Great, the Grecian leader, who at 21 years of age took a ragtag military operation, and in 11 years, by the time he was 32 years old, he had conquered the known world. Do you know where he was headquartered? Babylon. He died at 32 years of age of syphilis in the city of Babylon. But before he did that, the city was a mighty city in the world. He opened up the Euphrates River so 500 gunships could make their way from the Persian Gulf up to Babylon and be docked there. That's 200 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire, and Babylon is alive and well operating. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 5, there were Jews from every nation of the world. And when the Holy Spirit of God came down and baptized those Jewish believers into the body of Christ, guess what happened? They spoke in languages, not unknown tongues. There's no such thing as unknown tongues in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, the people there recognized the languages that were being spoken. And you study the languages. Most of them were the Chaldean region of the world. Babylonians had come from Babylon to Jerusalem as one of the Jewish pilgrim feast days, Pentecost. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter, on that day of Pentecost, 10 days earlier, Jesus had told the disciples, start here in Jerusalem, go to Judea and Samaria to the othermost parts of the earth. So Peter was obedient. On the day of Pentecost, he preached, and thousands, at least 5,000 we know, got saved on that day of Pentecost. Then he went to Judea and Samaria. And then he said, I've got to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Let me tell you something, friends. He did not go to Rome, do you hear me? He did not go to Rome. That's to the west of Jerusalem. He went to the east of Jerusalem. How do I know? He started a church in a place called Babylon. You got 1 Peter? Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13. And the church that is in Babylon elect together with you salute you. He went to Babylon. At the time of Peter's life, Babylon was the second most populated Jewish city in the world. And so he went there and he started a church. This word Babylon here is not a cryptic word for Rome. Did anybody ever think that Peter was ever cryptic in anything he had to say? Not one time. That was not Peter. And this is the literal word of God. We don't put in what we think it means. We put in what it says and we translate it that way. He never was in Rome. He's not buried in Rome. He's buried in Jerusalem. And he started the church in Babylon. And by the way, that's 500 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire, and it's still alive and well. I have an article from CNN which said the United States military is going to have to pay $800,000 because those U.S. soldiers went into Babylon, the city of Babylon, never been destroyed, not like it was in its heyday, but about to be rebuilt, and they messed it up. They put Camp Alpha there. It was a multinational military base. They messed up the location where Nebuchadnezzar had his hanging gardens. They tore down half of the Ishtar Gate. Saddam Hussein thought he was the reincarnation of King Nebuchadnezzar. Have you ever seen that picture of his face superimposed over the face of Nebuchadnezzar? He believed that God had brought him into existence as the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar to go to Jerusalem and take it out. He spent $500 million, half a billion dollars, in refurbishing Babylon. He put up the Ishtar Gate, the ones that they tore down. He advertised in the USA Today newspaper, US Today newspaper, I got the article. He said, I'll give $1 million. Somebody can tell me how they put the hanging gardens up. Babylon has never been destroyed. Babylon, it's alive and well. Do you know the prime minister of Iraq, Prime Minister Maliki? You know where he was born? Babylon. It's not been destroyed. It has to be destroyed. Chapter 50 of Jeremiah. Let me show you what Jeremiah the prophet had to say. By the way, parallel passages in chapters 50 and 51 with Isaiah 13 and 14. Jeremiah 50. Notice what it says here, verse 1. The word that the Lord spake against Babylon, against the land of the Chaldeans, by Jeremiah the prophet. Go to verse 13. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at her plagues. Look over here in verse 39. Therefore the wild beast of the desert with the wild beast of the islands shall dwell there, and the owl shall dwell therein, and it shall no more be inhabited forever. That word is olam. It's the same word in the name of God, El Olam, which talks about the eternality of God. When you pull out that word from God's name, that's how long it's going to be, forever, as long as God is. Nobody's going to inhabit it forever. There's people living there today. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Look at verse 40. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any man, son of man, dwell therein. Go to chapter 51, verse 29. Chapter 51, verse 29. And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. Look at verse 37. Verse 37. And Babylon shall become heaps and a dwelling place for dragons, and astonishment, a hissing without an inhabitant. Verse 43. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. Verse 62. Then shall thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against the place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. I've given you 7 proof texts. Babylon has to be destroyed. No man ever lived there, never been rebuilt, nothing. That prophecy's never been fulfilled. Why does the prophecy need to be fulfilled? Why is God going to destroy Babylon? Look back in chapter 50, verse 28. Chapter 50, verse 28. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion, Zion is Jerusalem, the vengeance of the Lord God, the vengeance of his temple. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? He wiped out the temple. He took all the vessels and desecrated them. God's going to deal with the Iraqi people, the Babylonian people. You're going to be wiped out as if they'd never been. Look over here in chapter 51, verse 11. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes for his devices against Babylon to destroy it, because it's the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. The spirit of the Medes. Do you know who the Medes are? The Medes and the Persians are? The Persians are the people of Iran today. They still speak Persian. You know who the Medes are? Listen. The Medes are the Kurdish people of northern Iraq, eastern Turkey, western Iran. The Kurdish people, they're the Medes. Oh, by the way, when Saddam Hussein was slaughtering people, the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, documented that Saddam gassed 250,000 Kurds. God says, raise up the spirit of the Medes to take out Babylon. Babylon will be destroyed.
Indeed, Babylon the city will be destroyed in the future, at a time when it has become the economic capital of this world, under the leadership of the Antichrist. That's Revelation 18. We're not there yet, but in our next study, we'll see how that all plays out. My friend, we're quickly approaching the time of the fulfillment of this prophetic scenario related to the city of Babylon. Be sure to join us next time to see how God's plan will work out. Right now, here is Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of our study for today.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...